Welcome to the Zillionaire Superstars podcast show with Angie Z. I'm a mindset coach, host of Zillionaire Superstars podcast show, and designer of Zillionaire Creations, entrepreneurial clothing line. I know the road to evolution starts with understanding the power of your mind. The problem isn't with what you're doing, it is how you're thinking. The Zillionaire Superstar podcast show shares with you the mindset tools and techniques used by successful entrepreneurs and business owners that created their level of success today, and shares how you can also do the same. Welcome to Zillionaire Superstars podcast with Angie Z. I'm excited to have the fast-talking Desiree Martinez, who's a bundle of energy. She's a video creator and YouTuber, award-winning social media marketer. Martinez's superpower is developing creative content ideas that improve brand awareness and increase conversions. A massive welcome, Desiree.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
It's great to have you on the show. And we'll be very interested. I'm sure all the entrepreneurs out there would love to learn some marketing techniques and tips that will work for them and help their business grow and expand. Let's start, though, with a few questions so the audience can get to know you a little bit better. So what do you do in your own words?
So I help businesses grow by creating better content marketing. I execute this through YouTube marketing and trickle it down into my other systems.
Nice. Where do you live?
I live in Phoenix, Arizona in the United States.
Beautiful. Have you always lived there?
I have not. I'm actually sort of a citizen of the world. I grew up a military kid and I became a military wife, and we have moved all over the country and have moved 10 times in the last 10 years. But now we are settled and we've bought our first home and we are looking forward to staying somewhere for an extended period of time.
Nice. Excellent. What's your favorite book or podcast?
Ooh, my favorite podcast? Oh, it's so hard. There's a couple of them that I really love. I love Detail Therapy with Amy Landino. I love The Grit with Jessica Stansberry. And I really love Business Wars. I think that's a really good one, too.
Ah, yes. I have heard of that one. I haven't listened to their episodes yet. Cool. Favorite charity?
Probably my local Humane Society here in Arizona. I'm very much like a total pet person. Like, if I could have a farm, I would totally would. So my local Maricopa County Animal Humane Society is where I'm at.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. What animals would you have on your farm?
I would totally have a horse, a miniature cow, a whole bunch of chickens, and probably like 4 or 5 more dogs. And probably some cats.
I love that you know what you want. And all those dogs, yeah. That would be amazing. And horses are just amazing. I love animals. All animals. Incredible. Yeah. Daily success ritual.
You know what? I'm one of those horrible people that I'm on the quest for a morning ritual, but my night ritual for going to bed, because I, like, guard my sleep like a mama bear. I have a whole thing I do where it's like I put on lotion with lavender essential oils. I put on socks with lotion on my feet, and I take my medicine at night, and I go to bed, and I make sure that I listen to the Headspace app. They have a sleep setting for going to sleep.
Oh, wow. Did you have trouble sleeping before?
I did not have trouble sleeping before. It was more by having the routine of going to sleep, I found that it was easier to fall asleep and stay asleep and have good sleep. Unfortunately, my husband has PTSD, and so his sleep will affect my sleep. So if I can do what it takes to get into that really sound sleep, it's not as – I don't get woken up as easily by him when he's having like a rough night or something's going on. Another thing I would highly recommend anybody is make sure you've got a really good pillow, like a pillow that's specific to how you sleep. Because there's different pillows for side sleepers, back sleepers, stomach sleepers, so.
Yeah, I just learned the importance of that myself, actually. They're incredible what's out there on the market. They've got ones with gel in them and help you sleep better and cool you down to help you sleep. And, yeah, it's quite amazing the difference it makes, right?
Right.
Yeah, great recommendation. Definitely. So tell us, Desiree, how did you get started in the marketing world?
So I got started in, I feel like a sort of traumatizing needed to space. So I actually have a bachelor's degree in multimedia art, and I graduated in 2007 to a crashing economy. Jobs specifically around art and creativity were like drastically going away as people's budgets were being cut. And I was put into a position where I actually had to move back in with my parents so that I could, you know, live. And my mom came to me one day with this website. We have this local network here in Phoenix called networkingphoenix.com. Because our city is so big and spread out, there are so many amazing opportunities everywhere. And so this website acts as like a home for all of the networking events. So it's like one calendar where you can go and pick and choose what you want to go to. And my mom sent it to me, and she was like, go find some networking events and hawk your graphic design skills. I was like, all right, what do I have to lose, right? Yeah. At that point in my life, it basically everything was like, what do I have to lose is my response. And so I did it, and I started networking and growing. I became sort of like figuring out, what am I going to do? How do I talk to people? What can I offer myself to people? And I was charging like guys like 10, 12 bucks an hour, which is like below minimum wage at this point. And it was awful and just, oh, it was a meeting. But the one thing that kept happening to me is all of these adults, and I say adults in like a way like I'm not one, but I was 24, 25 at the time, and they kept these adults, legit like 30s, 40s, 50s year old people would be asking me, what's this Facebook thing?
Yeah.
And I was like, why are you people asking me about Facebook? Because I had been on it when you were in college, and like you could only get on with college emails. Like I was there for the beginning of it. And I was like, well, this is what it is. This is how you use it. You can do this with your business on it. And I started coaching and using it as a networking tool more and more as I was kind of diving into freelance work. And one day someone told me, Desiree, you should do this as a business. And I swear to you guys, I looked him dead in the eyes and I was like, no one's going to pay me to be on Facebook. I literally eat those words. I've eaten those words every day of my life for over 10 years.
Wow.
And so I decided to dive into being what is now called a social media marketer, a social media agency. You have to keep in mind, in 2010, these are words that did not exist yet. Like this wasn't a job title people had.
Yes.
I noticed. It's like, it seems like just yesterday, but also so long ago. And so that's what I decided to do. So I literally dove into this combination of entrepreneurship and figuring out what a social media marketer was at the same time. And I fell on my face a whole bunch, but I also was able to find really great success from it. And here I am today.
Wow, what an awesome story. How cool is your mom helping you out there?
My mom is the coolest. I love her to this day. She has helped. She helps me all the time still. Like I wouldn't have passed high school without her because she proofed all of my papers. She was actually the one that formatted and proofed my book. So
right. So, I mean, wow.
My mom is thebomb.com.
Yeah, I'll say. Shout out to your mom. Definitely, definitely. So what got you through that time, do you think? It sounds like you were busy, you were learning, you were out there, you know, meeting lots of people. But what was your mindset around, like, what were you thinking at that time in order to grow your business?
It really was a lot of, like, it was money-driven. Like, I needed money. Like, I had bills to pay. I had my student loans were coming up. I had a car payment. And I had these, like, super crappy jobs. Like, I was a swim teacher. I was, like, a hostess. You know, just these things that didn't pay beyond, like, 10, 12 bucks an hour. And I was like, I needed more money because I had built everything I had done in my life based on the ideas. Like, I would come out of college at the top of my class, which I did, being able to start off my life with a salary job that would be around 20 bucks an hour. Like a $40,000 to $50,000 salary was what I was expecting. And instead I was doing like $25,000 a year, and it was just like completely unsustainable. So I was very money driven. And because I'm a super outgoing person and I'm a super problem solver, goal oriented person. It was really just like, I have to solve this problem and this is going to be the solution. I just have to figure out what this path looks like. What does the industry look like? What do people need? How can I do it? And then on top of it, I had fun doing it. Like, I really loved it. I love people. I love educating them. I love interacting with them. I love connecting and relating to them and them doing that with me. And it just gets me so excited and pumped up, and it fills my cup, like how some people go to the gym.
Yes.
Or like networking and talking to people, like this sort of conversation just pumps me up like like a 30-minute cardio workout does for other people.
Yeah, I so get that. I love networking as well. Absolutely. It is amazing. Gives you incredible energy, buzz you can't get from anything else. It's pretty awesome.
No, it's so good.
And just the people you meet and, you know, expanding your network as well is just amazing, you know, just finding out other people's stories, what their problems are, how to solve them. So that's awesome, though, because that helps your mindset, right? When you're actually having fun along the way, despite being in a challenging position, that actually helps you get through it.
Yeah. I mean, I was just like, I think one of the things that happens with people, I grew up a very traditional millennial kid. I grew up in the 90s and, you know, with like super terrible big jeans and pop music and all this kind of stuff. But the common thing that everyone around me, no matter where I live, the common theme was you go to school, you get good grades, you go to college, you get a job. Like, that was the formula. Yeah. And that's what I worked towards that whole time. And so it was this idea of, like, everything that I was told my whole life no longer worked. And it wasn't because of any other reason than the world changed. Like,
yes.
None of our parents could have anticipated this. No. You know, and if you look back at it in hindsight, and you look at where we are now, it's just, it's so easy to be like, we don't know, like, in COVID, like, we are literally in the midst of so much change. We're going to look back at this in 5-10 years and be like, look at all that stuff that happened and look at where we are now because of it. Yes. It's the same thing 10 years ago. Look at this gigantic economic crash that happened, how it affected all of these things and where we are now because of it. Like, if it hadn't have been for the economic crash and all this stuff, we wouldn't have things like Airbnb and Facebook and online marketing and all of these things that allow people to make money, which now in COVID exist, which allow for people to sustain now. Like, it allows for people to still thrive and function and adapt through the hard times. So it's literally like that same sort of thing. So I truly believe the thing that people forget so much is your 20s is not about being an adult. Your 20s is about falling on your face repeatedly while you figure out what adulting is.
Yes.
And then your 30s is when, like, you actually enter into adulthood and you're like, okay, I did all this stupid stuff. I figured out who I was separate from my parents and school and all these other things. Like, now I need to fit. Now adulting is doing quote unquote responsible things. Like, do I have kids? Do I not have kids? Do I go to college? Do I go? What are my career paths? What am I doing for money? Your mortality, you know, sets in. Like, ooh, my back hurts more than it ever did before because I slept weird. Like, all these things happen. And so I think that's just one of those things that people kind of forget about and don't realize when it comes to that, like, era of our life. But your 20s is about working really hard and learning a lot and doing a lot of the lessons that set you up for the rest of your life.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So what are you finding, like, in terms of having gone through that experience and, you know, talking about COVID now, how are you finding this experience at the moment? Like, how are you managing the situation and working with your clients?
Well, so the thing is for me is I've never really had, like, a physical relationship with my clients. So I became a military spouse in 2013, and we moved from Phoenix to Texas and embarked on this new phase of life, which included motherhood and military life and all of these things. And so I had maintained the clients that I had already had, but I wasn't actively pursuing more. Like, it's super crazy hard to try and, like, run a business, grow a business specifically, while you're also dealing with, like, a newborn at the same time. So my military community, though, has an ongoing chronic problem that it has had the entire time that military life has really existed post-50s, which is military families move a lot, and spouses get really screwed over with jobs. Mm. We have a hard time staying employed. We have a really hard time with underemployment and unemployment within our own community. And this is something I watched my mother struggle with. And right. So I was like, I can fix this. Mm-hmm. I can help. I can train military spouses how to be social media managers.
Yes.
And then I can find them work. That way they can work anywhere they're stationed around the world. And so that's what I've been doing for the past 5 years. So that's what a lot of like a division of what my income comes from is this do it for you service. And so not being able, like working from home and not having like a physical relationship with my clients is incredibly, incredibly normal for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, that's an amazing thing to do. It's like helping other people as well, like get jobs and do things they probably didn't even know they could do potentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, so many military spouses are young and either in school trying to figure it out, or they have some sort of certification, and when they move, their certification has to be renewed in the state that they're in.
Right.
Or they can't do it because they're in a different country. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of like creative solutions that are kind of hard to work through when you don't know.
Yes. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, that's incredible. That's awesome, Desiree. So from your experience as well, what are you finding that people are not doing correctly around the marketing aspect? Like, what would you recommend for entrepreneurs out there to expand their business? What are some of the key strategies you would suggest?
I think that the biggest thing that people aren't doing right now in marketing for their business is they're not using YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube is so many things. It's like, you know, we can list off their accomplishments, like second most, you know, it's owned by Google and it's the second most used search engine on the planet. And, you know, there's creators, there's like so many billions of minutes uploaded every day. And all.
Yes. Yep.
But people, I think, hear these gigantic statistics and they think, oh, I've missed the boat, or I don't know what to do, or I'm afraid to be on camera, or this isn't going to work for me because it takes time, and all of these stupid reasons, when really it's just like, if you want to sustain, if you want to have longevity, and if you want to future-proof your income, if you're not using YouTube, you are sorely missing an amazing financial opportunity. Because what other marketing platform have you ever heard of where you can create content that for their viewers and they will pay you for it?
Yes, yeah, that's very,
you know,
true.
Now, granted, you have to get to that point, that you have to earn it. You have to prove to YouTube that you have people that want to watch and listen to you, which I think that it's a smart move not to get monetization right out the gate because you suck at first.
Yes, quite often that's the case when you look at, like, you know, success stories and you look at their new videos versus some of the ones that they started with and you're like, oh, wow, very different, yeah. But that's to be expected, right? I think, though, the beauty of YouTube is that, as well, you get to know someone so much more than any other platform. You know, versus Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn. It's just so much more interactive and interesting, I find. But there's so many success stories out there as well. Have you heard of Aaron Doherty?
I have not.
No, okay. So he's quite esoteric, actually. He's a fascinating guy, talks about the law of attraction. And he grew his business. He was working in, he was actually selling women designer shoes and built his business up like on a huge scale. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. Yeah, but he just talked about all the work that he did, but he was excited every day to get up and create a video. And yeah, he's just gone, you know, crazy. His network's expanding all the time. He's following. So yeah, it's great. Really good opportunity. I think too, a lot of people are quite fearful, like they don't want to be on camera. And I have heard that time and time again with people. Which they'll just have to obviously work out a way to overcome that challenge if that's, you know, the road they want to go down. So what other strategies would you recommend apart from YouTube?
I think that you need to remember that you on rented land when you are doing things on other platforms. And so you need to make sure that everything that you're doing, you are finding a way to get them onto a platform you own. So the most obvious and easiest one is using your email list. Mm-hmm. If you can start building a really solid email list, you're going to be able to have a lot of success from that.
Yeah.
But if you put all of your eggs into one basket, even YouTube, you're going to just run into problems.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Very good advice. Definitely. Definitely. Now, in terms of people's mindset too, what would you say are the most important things for people to focus on, given, you know, some of the challenges that you've experienced in your life? What would you suggest for budding entrepreneurs or those that are already thriving in their business? What would you suggest in terms of their mindset?
I would say you have to fail. Mm. Like, you have to fail.
Yeah.
And you have to suck. And it sucks that you have to suck, but it is such a vital part of your success. If everything is easy for you, if everything just happens for you, you are not trying hard enough. You are not setting lofty enough goals. You are not reaching your potential. So you really just need to think, like, what is it that you can do that's going to be hard for you to do? Do it, and then from it, what have you learned?
Yeah, yep. What would you say is the biggest learning experience for yourself?
Oh, man, like, there's just so many. There's no one that's bigger or smaller than the other ones. Every opportunity is learning one. I recently wrote a book. It's called Innovation from Desperation, The Unfiltered Failures and Successes of an OG Social Media Marketer. And I have a whole chapter where I'm talking about my first year of business and, like, the complete, like, SHIT show that I went on, like, with business that taught me some super hard lessons about trusting people and pricing and being emotionally invested and protecting your systems and contracts, like, all of those things, because people suck. But you have to learn that. There's no other way to learn that people suck than to be hurt by somebody.
Yes. Very true.
You know, you'll make money mistakes. You'll invest in something for your business, like, you'll do a big ad campaign, or you'll add some new division, or do something new in your business, and it won't be the right thing. It won't work. And so you have to just find some way to adapt and overcome.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. Definitely. It's why we're all here, right? Well, congratulations on your book. How long did it take you to write the book?
So I got the idea for my book in November. My husband and I were actually on this, like, long family trip for Thanksgiving here in the States. And I was just like, I want to write a book. I have, like, these stories in my brain, and I can't seem to, like, get it going.
Mm.
I can't seem to figure out, like, what is it that I want to do? What is it that I want to say? And my husband was just like, Desiree, you have lived, like, no one's talking about the journey of social media. You know, you've done so many things. You always are complaining about how you never see yourself in these stories and, you know, all of these things. I was like, you're right. He's like, you should be talking about, like, what this journey has been like, so people know that being a social media marketer isn't just playing on Facebook and taking pretty pictures on Instagram. It's all of these other things. And I was like, what? That's so brilliant. And so I started writing it, and I had to set myself a deadline. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I have to set a deadline, and I have to tell other people to make sure I don't let those people down.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so I just straight up was like, okay, I'm doing it. I'm going to set my date. So my book released on June 30th, which is also the 10-year anniversary of me being a quote-unquote official social media marketer. And I've just been, sharing my story and my journey with people. And I think a lot of them have been really able to relate to it. And it's just a different way to learn from people, because it's a business memoir about my journey with the central focus being social media.
Beautiful. Awesome. That's very cool. So what's next on the agenda for you this year?
So I'm working to map out what my membership is going to be. One of the things that did happen to me with COVID is that a lot of the businesses that I was working with, they had to shut their doors, whether it was temporarily or permanently, or they had to like reevaluate their incomes and stuff. And so I had lost a lot of our do-it-for-you business. Mm-hmm. And I believe that if there was a way for me to still kind of coach them through it and help them through the struggles of it by like giving them a roadmap every month and like doing this in tandem together with do-it-together service, that it would be so much better. So cool. I'm mapping out and launching my Do It Together content marketing services and just continuing to focus on my goal for YouTube. I hit my YouTube goal really early in my year, so my new YouTube goal is to go from 10,000 subscribers to 25,000 subscribers by the end of the year. Yes. So I'm just working really hard on that. And I've also set the big goal attached to my YouTube channel, which is every time I want it to be, so every time I turn on my camera to record, I can make money.
Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. And what's the best way for people to connect with you, Desiree?
Best place to go is to MrsDesireeRose.com, MrsDesireeRose.com.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Zillionaire Superstars podcast show. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear your comments and reviews, so please leave a review on iTunes. For further information, visit AngelinaZimmerman.com, and I can't wait to catch up with you next time.